Good morning, everybody. I'm going to talk to you this morning about our current and ongoing study of the ecosystem functions of vernal pools in the southern New England landscape. So the things that I hope that you all take away from this today is you'll get a brief introduction of vernal pools. I'm going to introduce you all to our current study, and I'm going to give you kind of like a sneak preview of some of the early results that we're getting in right now and some possible implications of those. So here is just a summary table of the general vernal pool attributes for Northeast North America. And kind of the unifying factor here is that they're all on glaciated landscapes. The size can vary tremendously. They can be pretty small to up to almost 3 acres. Hydroperiod can also vary greatly, and that's something that's historically not very well studied in vernal pools in New England. The physical setting, they can occur almost anywhere. But again, another unifying factor is that because of their cyclic wetting and drying periods, there is just a lack of predatory fish, which really opens the door for some of the better-known indicator species for breeding periods. But the takeaway message here from this summary table is that there's a lot of variability included in vernal pools. So a lot of variety, which makes studying them a little bit more complicated. And another introduction of variety here is that the name vernal pool isn't really the totally accepted name for these things. They can be seasonal pools, ephemeral pools, temporary forest pools. Perfect example of this, I was at the graduate social last night, and you know, everybody's asking each other what you're studying, and I told the gentleman how I was studying vernal pools, and he goes, "What's that?" And I explained it to him. He was like, "Oh yeah, temporary pools, temporary forest pools." I was like, "Yes, temporary forest pools." And going hand in hand in that is there's really a lack of defined and accepted classification for these things. There have been proposals to classify them based on dominant plant species, and there's also been proposals to classify them based on topographic position, like whether you have a slope on one side or whether there are three within a floodplain. So with such variability and kind of unsurety about vernal pools in southern New England, it really introduces the question, okay, well then how do you really define what the ecosystem services are if you don't have a full understanding? So one of the better defined ecosystem benefits of vernal pools is their utilization as breeding habitat for some indicator species like the marble salamander and fairy shrimp. So then what's still to be determined is, okay, but what are the more broad scale functions that they serve? Are they like general wetlands where they're the kidneys of the landscape and really filtering out nutrients and other toxins? But so for our study, we're hypothesizing from the soils perspective that, as I'm going to bring you guys back to carbon sequestration, we're thinking that the soils in the basins of vernal pools are reduced for a long enough period of time to really function highly in carbon sequestration and maybe some nitrogen cycling. So now I'm going to talk to you about how we're going to go about doing that. And like I said, this is an ongoing study. So with each of the vernal pools, we're doing soil profiles and descriptions and particle size analysis, and as well as percent organic matter, just to kind of get a baseline. Each pool is going to be studied for hydroperiod using piezometers and wells so that we know the depth to the free water surface as well as how the water is moving. Because like I said before, hydroperiod is one of those things that's kind of really can vary from pool to pool and is still one of very unknown. And then what I'm going to focus on today is the results that we've, from our readings of the redoxymorphic potential from each of the pools. So the study area is, we have pools located in southwestern Connecticut, as well as western Massachusetts. They occur on a variety of different parent materials, including glacial till, glacial outwash, fluvial, as well as lacustrine. And the three that I'm going to be focusing on for you today are located in South Amherst, Massachusetts. They are they're located on and owned by the town of Massachusetts on a conservation area they're forested. And they're all within about a tenth of a mile radius of each other. Like I said, I'm going to focus on the rhodoxamorphic potential for you all. We've outfitted each of these pools with redox probes, and that's soldered platinum and copper in a PVC pipe. These particular pools in South Amherst were outfitted in late March, and we began reading them in early April to coincide with the growing season. And each pool has three stations: the basin, the rim, and the summit station, which kind of just got highlighted pretty quickly there. So there's the basin. This is the rim, which coincides with the high water line. And then the summit station is the upland soil position from the basin. Each of these stations has three different depths that are installed in triplicates. So we have three redox probes installed at 15 centimeters, three at 30 centimeters, and then three at 45 centimeters. And those readings are being taken weekly throughout the growing season, and they're corrected for the standard hydrogen electrode at pH of 7. Okay, so the fun part. Let's talk about some of the results that we're getting. What you're seeing now are the results for all the basins, all three vernal pool basins at 45 centimeters. And you can see from the beginning of April all the way through the end of September, they've been in a pretty reduced state, which kind of coincides with our hypothesis of, okay, so these are staying pretty reduced for a long enough period of time, particularly in the basins. And what's also sort of a controversy with vernal pools is, okay, you have pools that are located pretty close to each other. Are they really replicates or are they pseudo-replicates? But based on what we're getting back here, these actually are following very similar patterns in terms of the responses to the precipitation and water movement. So we're thinking that this is looking pretty good towards them looking like replicates of each other. Okay, so these are the redox readings from the rim station. Excuse me. And this is, these ones are separated by pool 1, pool 2, and pool 3. So again, I want you to notice the similarities between the movements. You can see the oxidation as the pools were drying. But then I did want to bring your attention to when Hurricane Irene and Tropical Storm Lee hit, end of August, early September, that just totally drove the redox properties right down. And you can see a lot of the pools really responded to that pretty quickly. Again, bringing back that they are behaving very similarly. And then these are the redox at the summit station, where you can see there's larger differences, particularly from the basin. At 15 centimeters, it's largely oxidized throughout the whole season. And then, again, with the tropical storms coming down, you can see that driving down, but it's still remaining oxidized. So that was really quick, but that's okay. So what that kind of brings me to is pretty preliminary. Like I was mentioning before, this data that we're getting back right now really drives us towards thinking of the vernal pools as replicates of each other, which would be interesting also to see when we pull in the data from the other pools that we have throughout western Massachusetts and southwestern Connecticut to see if they're showing the same trends, because that could give us possible implications towards the rhodoxamorphic potential, maybe possible differences between soil type. And also, for this 2011 growing season, the basin position in the South Amherst pools really did show a reduced state for almost the whole entire time, which could have which makes us think that we are on track for our hypothesis, thinking that it's good for carbon sequestration. And that's really it. That was an excellent purple mushroom that I found at pool number 3.
Thank you.